Well, good morning, everybody. My name is John Horton. I finally get to attend a service here, right? And so I work closely with Kevin and Becky Beers, your pastors, and so I've been praying for this campus before it was a campus. And when you guys were refurbishing things, I got to help do some painting. But I've never had a chance to worship because I always have a gig, right? So Kevin and Becky were looking for a guest speaker and they exhausted all their regular speakers. So I said, wait a second, if I switch with my worship leader over at Bayview, I can do that for you. And so that's wonderful. So I wear two hats at Revive Wesleyan. I'm the Bayview campus pastor. If you go to our main McKinley location, there's two campuses there, right? The big house. And then if you look on the southern part of the campus is what we call Bayview. It's facing Bayview Road. You can't see the bay from there. Why did they name Bayview Bayview? I don't know. It was optimistic anyway. So we do traditional, updated traditional worship. For that song we just sang, My Living Hope, the second song we did that at Bayview last week. But we also do some different songs from time to time. Like for this month, a summer playlist, the first Sunday we did Amazing Grace, and the second Sunday last week we did Be Still My Soul. So we're the oddball campus, but we're happy with traditional worship. In every service, we do some of the more traditional worship elements, like we have a public reading of scripture and a pastoral prayer and different things like that. Some people grew up in a more traditional setting, and so they feel more comfortable with that. It's a healthy, growing congregation, and I love being there. I also love working with your pastors. Kevin is my supervisor. He's a couple years younger than I am. I was like, how's that going to work? So here's how it works. Great. He's the best supervisor I've ever had. He communicates so clearly and so often. I'm like, yep, I'll follow him. And then Becky and I are in cahoots. We're putting together the Fall All Church Journey, which is about the core principles that guide our church. We call it the core. And so we're putting together a journal and lots of, with Heather's help, with lots of different pieces to that. But we're really looking forward to how God's going to use that in the fall. So I also, here's my other hat, I work in the heal department. So don't you love being part of a church that has a heal department? So with Christy Kaufman, we supervise ministries like Reengage and Grief Share and Divorce Care and things like that. I also do pastoral counseling. I'm not clinically trained, so like I don't counsel with somebody every week for a year. I'm not trained to do that. But as a pastor, I sit down with people who need to talk to somebody safe. And so I love that role as well. My wife Ellen and I live in Springville. My wife's here today. With the world's cutest basset hound, Maggie. We have four grown children who are scattered around the country, but our daughter from Rochester is with us here this morning as well. So we're in this series called Summer Playlist. A couple of members that you saw up here, Jess and Paul, have written some original music, right? Which is wonderful. And today we are looking at the song called I Need You. And you heard a little bit about how Paul wrote that. He has his own studio at home. Did you catch that? Oh, it's home studio. I like the way that sounds. My wife says, don't even think about it. So today, we're focusing our attention on the text that gave birth to that song. We're in Acts chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, you want to turn to Acts chapter 3. And as you're looking that up, I just want to share some of the words from this song. We're going to sing it at the end of the service. In this moment, I stand before you, broken and worn down, searching for answers, holding on to your perfect love. I need your love. Now, maybe you're going through a great season of life and you're just full of praise. And if that's true, we rejoice with you. But maybe you're going through a hard season. Maybe you can relate to some of those words, broken and worn down, searching for answers with nowhere to turn. Sometimes we feel like we're just holding on and we cry out to God, I need you. It happens in all of our lives, right? Something that we didn't plan on, we feel like the the bottom drops out of our lives. Gordon MacDonald, in his excellent book, Rebuilding Your Broken World, talks about broken world experiences, things that rattle us, things that shake us to the core. So when you experience a broken world situation, where do you turn? Do you look to solve it on your own? Do you look to self-medicate to numb the pain? Do you look to your family to meet your deepest needs? Or do you fall on your knees and cry out to God, I need you? So we're in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John encounter a man who needs help. The scripture tells us that he was lame from birth, and that every day he was carried to the temple gate called Beautiful to beg for money so that he could live. You know, that temple in Jerusalem at the time was not like any other place in the world. There were local synagogues, but this was a special place of worship. And the gate called Beautiful, or the Beautiful Gate, was a main entrance into the temple. So it was a perfect spot for that person to ask people for money. Hopefully, as they were coming to the temple, they were in a charitable mood, right? Acts chapter 3, verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. That was his custom. What he didn't expect was what was about to happen. He had no idea. How many of you have spent time in a poor nation? What you would consider a poor nation? Several of you, right? I spent some time in Haiti and in the African nation of Malawi. And when you're there, there's people everywhere for starters, right? I was in the city of Lilongwe, and there's often you run into people who are begging. And here's the rule of thumb. They tell you, don't make eye contact. Don't do it. And don't engage a person in conversation, because one will become 10 and then will become 20, and we're not going to get out of here, and we'll never make it back to whatever we have to do. Sounds kind of mean, but it's what you learn when you're in a country where there's so much need. So don't make eye contact. And I'm sure that was true then. What happened was really a surprise to our friend who was asking for money. Verse 4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Imagine how he felt. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Right? Silver or gold, just an honest answer. We do not have what we do have. We give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. And just imagine what that must have felt like for that man. All of a sudden, maybe he has feeling in his legs for the first time, and all of a sudden, he feels a strength that he's never felt before, and he's standing up maybe for the first time in his life. Can you imagine? And then that's not enough. He's jumping up and down, right? This is wonderful. This is life-changing for him. He was looking for a few coins, but he was healed. A man is healed. And it's so shocking that everybody gathers around filled with wonder and amazement. We've been to the temple hundreds of times, but we've never seen anything like this. So let's talk about going to the temple or coming to worship. Why do we do it? And what do we expect as we come? Do we do it just because it's a habit? Now, as a pastor, I just want to say it's a good habit. But is that the only reason we come? Do we come to see our friends? Another good thing to do. Do we come to sing a few songs and maybe hear a message that makes us think or inspires us? Or do we come expecting to hear from God and expecting the Holy Spirit? We say that we're here to participate with the Holy Spirit, right? Do we expect God to meet us here? And especially when we're in a really difficult season of life, do we expect God to show up and bring healing to our lives or to strengthen us or whatever we need? So I often think that the most important thing that happens during the week is not writing a sermon, that's important, maybe practicing the music. The most important thing is preparing our hearts and minds to experience God in a fresh way. I love that song. Something new, a fresh wind is blowing. God will meet you in a place of honesty and vulnerability and minister to the broken and worn down parts of your life. Isn't that good news? He will meet you in your pain and encourage you. He will begin to fill the voids left by loss. You know, I work in the heal department, and one of the things that I think is so helpful for me to remember, and maybe for you too, is that in this world, we will not experience complete healing. Our goal, and this is from Edith Schaefer, our goal is to experience substantial healing. Enough healing that we can have some moments of joy, enough healing that we can see the needs of others. And then when we are in the presence of Jesus, our healing will be complete. Here's our big idea for this morning. When I move around my thing, see it? So I'm going to stand perfectly still. Here's our big idea for this morning. Our honesty and humility open the door for God to work in our lives. Our honesty and humility open the door for God to work in our lives. Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So that's a first part of the story, but there's a second part because Peter is in tune with the Holy Spirit. He's participating with the Holy Spirit, and he recognizes that this is a moment to proclaim Jesus. So let's join the rest of our story in verse 11. "While the man held on to Peter and John, and all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade." People know that something is going on, and they see this guy. Like, I know him. He's the beggar that we go by every time we come to the temple. What happened to him? Sometimes when God works in our lives, people notice the difference in a good way. We move from being hopeless to hope-filled, from being bitter to joyful, from sorrowful to encouraged. And maybe someday they'll ask you, "There's something different about you. What's going on?" And when that time comes, maybe you'll be led like Peter was led by the Holy Spirit to just say a good word for Jesus Christ. Now, let's just remember the setting. Jesus died on the cross like 2 months ago, right here in the city where they are in Jerusalem. Remember what happened to Peter during that evening that Jesus was arrested? Like when questioned by a servant girl, he denied even knowing Jesus. And now he's got this crowd. He's at the temple in Jerusalem. And now he is ready to proclaim Jesus. But it's just that the setting makes it so intense. Verse 12. "When Peter saw the crowd, he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. We saw him with our own eyes. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Pretty subtle, isn't it? It's bold, isn't it? You handed him over to be killed. You disowned the holy and righteous one. You killed the author of life. In this scripture, hard truth is shared. Part of coming to God honestly and openly is being willing to be honest with God and to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we need to own our own sins and confess them to God, and this opens a door for God to work in our lives, right? That's part of what it is to come on a Sunday morning. We hear sometimes truth that really lifts us up, and then sometimes we hear truth that really looks us in the face and says, you need to come to God, and part of that is just to be honest. Again, our big idea is this. Our honesty and humility open the door for God to work in our lives. Peter, where is he going to go with this message? He's confronted them boldly. But let's see what he says in verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Even though you killed the Holy One from God, repent and turn to him. To repent simply means to recognize that you have sinned, to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing. It's a change of heart and mind that brings us closer to God. And verse 19 is so crazy, right? Even though you killed Jesus, there is grace for you. And Peter knows it, doesn't he? Peter messed up big time. He thought he was off the team, and then Jesus appeared to him in that great scene written down in John 21. Peter, do you love me? He brings him back on the team, and now Peter is one of the leaders of this movement carrying on the work of Jesus. Grace is extended. Grace is extended. The story of Jesus' death is a story of grace, of forgiveness bought with his life. And that same grace is available to you and to me this morning. Some people think, and some are even willing to say, that if you only knew what I had done, you know I can never be forgiven. Is that true? Is there always enough grace for us? Is there enough grace for everybody? There is. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. And so there is grace. A hard thing is spoken, but there is grace for all of us. The song that we're looking at today was birthed from this passage. Our honesty and humility open the door for God to work in our lives. Here's some more of the lyrics. I need you. Nothing compares to your love. I'll bow in the presence of God, who am I to stand? Who am I to stand? I submit to the will of your plan. My life is yours. My life is yours. So, as I was thinking about this message, in Baby Chapel, we take time every service to respond to what we've heard, because if we don't respond to it, it can't change our lives. So before we get up and visit with our friends and go eat lunch or whatever you're going to do, we always take a moment to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So maybe this morning you're more like that man at the temple and you need God to give you strength and bring healing to your life. The Holy Spirit is present to do that. Maybe you've gotten off course a little bit and this is a time for you in humility and honesty to just come into God's presence. Whatever your need is, and we're a big congregation like this, we're all over the place, right? But whatever your need is, God is present to work in your life. So we're going to sing this song together. For some of you, it'll be brand new. If you just want to listen to it, that's really okay. But what I'm asking you as we sing this first part of this song is for you to think, What do you want and need God to do in your life this morning? And then I'm going to come up and lead us in a time of prayer, and then we'll finish the song. So what are you asking God to do in your life today?